From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins on a relentless pursuit to help you love the one you're with and discover all the benefits that came with saying I do. Ladies, if a Harvard-trained researcher dug into your husband's brain, what do you think she'd find? Don't answer that. But in this season of Married with Benefits, we've got best-selling author and Harvard-trained researcher Shanti Feldhahn answering questions we know you're thinking, but just aren't sure who to ask. In fact, this first episode, we tackle a big one. Why is my husband so interested in sex?
I knew you were going to start off with one of the big controversial ones.
I may as well try to get listeners. We have no listeners to this point. So you have got done some incredible research on this topic. You're a speaker. You have gone out and talked to many women and have heard firsthand about how, especially the book For Women Only, has impacted them. How it really unlocked, I think, a generation of women that were feeling this need of, man, my husband is he's like a Pandora box. I don't know how to open it, but I don't have the key.
And it's a great image.
You gave us the key. Been out for what, 10 years now?
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah,
12 years now. And you said the subtitle you feel like is what made a real difference.
What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there are a lot of wives out there that are going, I don't get my husband. Yeah. Well, I want to get into what we're going to talk about today in this podcast. But I think about this topic for women only and just that idea of the questions that every wife tends to ask. Because you wrote the book, but yet there's still questions that come out and things that we want to understand. So we want to use this really as a launch pad for the questions that come up, whether it's at conferences that you're speaking at or that I'm at, and we go, hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna kick it off with, I think, a tantalizing one. Why does my husband seem to always want sex? Now, I say that, and I recognize there's women in the audience that are going, I wish my husband felt that way.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So we're going to talk to, at first, we'll address that maybe a little later, but we want to talk to probably what most women are feeling. Gosh, it seems like my husband, that's all he's thinking about.
It's about 75%.
75%-ish.
Depends on the study you look at. Yeah.
Okay. And so why is that? Do you get that question a lot?
All the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys do too, you know, here at Family Life. Like, what is it behind it? Now, any man listening in is going, what do you mean? Why am I so interested in sex? I mean, for a guy, it's totally self-evident. Right?
I get it. I can't explain it, but I feel it.
Exactly. And here's honestly the dynamic that it just, we women miss it. We just don't understand it. Is because we're wired so differently, which we can talk about because I think it will be helpful for us to understand the differences between the two of us, is because we're wired so differently, we automatically have this pretty substantial misunderstanding about what it means to him. And we think of it as being primarily a physical need.
Right.
Like, that's...
He's just horny all the time.
why
is he so horny?
And women are like, you know, and I'm tired. Like, I've had a really long day. Mm-hmm. Why on earth aren't you tired? Like, that, you know, and Jeff always says, we do these, you know, marriage conferences, and he always tells the men when we talk about the subject... And he's like, look, you know, I can be really tired as a guy, but if Shanti shows the slightest bit of interest, I can rally, you know? And so we're like, why is that?
Take one for the team, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All the guys are like, yes. But it really honestly is, to women, it becomes anywhere from puzzling to frustrating to, can we be honest, since we're talking to women, to feeling like a demand, like a selfish thing on his part. And now if a guy were listening to me say that, he'd be like, what? You know, because that feels really bad. And here's why. It's because it's not primarily a physical need for him, although that's a piece of it that we should probably talk about. But that actually primarily for him, his need, what it means to him, is it's primarily an emotional need, a pretty huge emotional need, actually. And it's one that can't be met any other way. Mm. It's the need that every man has to feel that his wife desires him and to feel that he is desirable and so that she wants him sexually. And if he feels that, you know, she desires me, that I am desirable, it actually really speaks to this self-doubt that we as women don't know is in the heart of most men anyway.
Yeah, I heard somebody say, you know, that not only do I always feel I'm insecure as a man, I feel I'm desperately insecure.
Yeah, and a lot of women are like, what? Like, they have a hard time believing you on that. And we'll address that. Because that's a really important thing to explore all on its own, because we don't realize that you big, strong men have that insecurity. But because that's in there, it really does, feeling like my wife desires me, it goes straight to the core of that. And suddenly, it gives him a sense of confidence and this sense of well-being. Like, everything's right with the world. Mm-hmm. And that confidence and that sense of well-being is not just in the bedroom, where we women might think it is, but it actually translates to how he feels about himself in every other area of his life. We actually found in the research for this, because this, we should probably explain, this is all based on these big research
studies.
Right.
This isn't just your gut, your intuition.
Right. These are all based, these are big, you know, very expensive, kind of long lasting research studies on men of all demographics, all ages, all religious backgrounds, all races, et cetera. And one of the very common dynamics is that the men said, you know, what happens in the bedroom, it absolutely impacts how I feel about myself the next day at the office.
Hmm. Wow. So what you're saying there is that it's meeting this need that transcends the bedroom.
Yes, and that, building him up in a very specific way.
Yeah.
That isn't, it's in the bedroom, but it transcends it emotionally.
Yeah, because it's not like, okay, now that I've done the act, it's done.
Right.
That's not really like, okay, now he's satisfied. No, it spills over into every part of life.
Well, and this is what I was about to say. I totally lost the thread of that. No, it was my fault. The research, reason I explained that is that we actually asked the men that question.
Mm-hmm.
We said, you know, suppose that your wife offered all the sex that you wanted, but did it kind of, like, you could tell she was just kind of doing it because she's married and she kind of has to, you know? Mm-hmm. Would you be satisfied? Like, would that meet that need? 97% of men said no. 97%.
Wow. That's significant. They call it statistically significant, right?
Yeah, that would be way more than statistics. I mean, that's enormous. That's almost universal.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically means that for us as women, we kind of have to confront a really, really common feeling that we have. And it's really one of those examples of take every thought captive, right? It's really one of those examples of allowing our minds to be transformed. Because, I hate to say this out loud, but this is all women, except for you.
Right.
And because it's all women, we can be really honest. You know, I can't really say this in quite this way in a marriage conference because the men would be really depressed to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something in the heart of a woman that sometimes kind of feels like, okay, you know what? This is important to him, so I'll do my duty.
Right.
Right? I know this is important to him. And it's important to us too. It's just we're wired so differently, which, you know, we need to talk about. But I'll do my duty. And the men were overwhelmingly like, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't even bother. Like if you are not engaged in this, and if you can't put everything aside to some degree, which is obviously difficult for us, and really want to be with me because you desire me, then honestly, you know what? I'd rather be out. Like, one guy's like, I'd rather be out clipping hedges in the freezing rain, honestly, than make love to a wife who seemed to be responding out of duty.
Mm-hmm.
That, when I heard that man say that, it was pretty early on in the research process, and I went to Jeff. I'll be honest about what I asked him, if you don't mind using salty language. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, he'd still be getting some. Like, what's the problem?
Right.
And Jeff looked at me. He's like, you're right. You're not getting it. If she's only responding because she has to, he's being rejected by his wife.
Hmm.
And it's the deepest form of rejection for a man, because it's not primarily a physical need, because it's primarily this emotional need.
I think that's incredibly significant to think about the idea that when I'm in the sexual act, while it's our souls are stitched to our bodies, and while it feels like a physical act.
It's a great way of putting it.
Well, that's Tim Kimmel. I can't take credit for it. I heard it from him. But I wish I could take credit for it. But yeah, our souls are stitched to our bodies. And so this idea that this is just a physical act. And I think as a young boy, speaking, it's like I think that as I'm growing into puberty and then I start getting attracted to women, I think that I want sex. Like I'm driven by sex. I think about it all the time. But really what's driving that desire isn't sex.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. It's this need to be wanted.
To feel desirable.
Right.
And that honestly is one of the things, which I know is another, you know, podcast episode we're going to get to at some point, is why would my husband even be attracted by porn in any way? Like he's right. This good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like why? Because that's so puzzling to us. And this is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, and this is the way one guy put it, and I love the way he put it. He said, it's like this, every one of those pictures, very inappropriate, horrible, awful, but every one of those pictures, those pornography pictures, has one message.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different, but it's got just one message. It's this sultry, seductive woman who's looking out through the camera and into your eyes with this stare that's like, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're so attractive. You're the most desirable man in the world. It's the same look that the strippers and the strip clubs mm-hmm. have perfected. Now, backstage, I've interviewed a lot of those women, and, you know, they're like bunch of patsies, you know? Like, they're using
it.
They're turning it on, but they turn it on. And every man knows that's counterfeit. He wants to feel that from his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, I can just tell you that a lot of the women just went, okay, I am not doing that stuff in the bedroom.
Right.
Like don't.
Right.
No, that's not what I mean. It's the message. It's this, I want to be with you.
And I think that's brilliant what you just said there about the women, the reason why the women are looking at men that way is because they're paid.
Yeah.
And if men could realize they're being manipulated.
Yes.
You know, that
it might help.
It might help. And we'll get into that in that podcast when we talk about why good guys love porn. And it is this sense, it's like it's McDonald's. It's, I know that I'm hungry, but I'll settle for counterfeit or cheap or bad nutrition because I'm just hungry. And I know that it won't ultimately satisfy. It tastes good for a little bit. And then afterwards, I feel a little sick about an hour later. But I'm willing to eat that. If that's what's all that I have.
And it's so important for us to say out loud, because I know there's some women who are listening to this and getting twitchy about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you excusing, you know, poor behavior just because I'm not available to my husband sexually? No, of course not.
Right.
Of course not. So please, you know, that's really important for whoever is on a ledge right now.
Mm-hmm.
Step away from the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
It is really crucial, though, for us to own something as women, as wives,
mm-hmm.
for us to be willing to own, this is, no matter whether you like this idea or not, for a huge percentage of men, this is as much of an emotional need in his heart of hearts, in his every fiber of his being, to feel desired by his wife. It is as much of an emotional need as your need to feel like at the end of a long day that he wants to hear what happened with you and to talk and like connect heart to heart in a conversation. I had a good friend from graduate school who got married, you know, fairly quickly out of graduate school, you know, wonderful guy, you know, they were just this wonderful couple. And right after they got married, he basically stopped talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'd be like, you know, over breakfast, so what's going on? Oh, nothing. And, you know, at the end of the day, she'd try to, like, engage him in conversation. He'd be, like, so tired. And she's, like, literally lonely, like, living in the house with this man. And I know some women listening to this know exactly what that feels like.
Right.
And it's the lack of this heart-to-heart connection. It's loneliness. And that is how men feel when they don't have this sexual connection with their wives. It's this incredible sense of emotional loneliness. And one of the reasons for that, actually, there is a way that we're wired, that I believe we're created by God, where actually there's a hormonal reason behind that. Mm-hmm. Literally, that there are chemicals that are called, you know, bonding chemicals.
Oxytocin, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That are released in a woman's body and brain, that are released at many different times of connection. And, you know, they found, for example, oxytocin is released a lot when she's, you know, breastfeeding a baby, for sure. example. It's this bonding thing. You feel this incredible love and this incredible connection and this softness towards this other person.
Which, and, by the way, I hate to interrupt, but that's why I probably never felt bonded to my kids when they were that young.
That young, exactly. You like, didn't have that oxytocin.
Like, you're not responding to me. Like, you're not smiling at my jokes. You're not doing anything. Like, I'm throwing you a ball, and you're not even catching it. You know, I know you're 2 months old, but still.
But still, exactly.
So I'm not bonding. So that chemical gets released when a woman is
when
breastfeeding.
When a woman is breastfeeding. It also gets released when she's having a deep conversation with her husband or a good friend. It's this sense of, I'm feeling really close to you. I'm feeling really connected to you. We're having this heart-to-heart, you know, emotional connection. That is released in many different ways in women, and it is released in men one time. And that's when they're having sex with their wives.
That's it.
That's it. That's the only time it's released in men.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure there's a few exceptions to that, mm-hmm. right? But in general, yeah, that's the only time it's released. And so that now suddenly there's a lot of women who just slapped their forehead and went, oh, because most of us have noticed that a grumpy husband, who's, mm-hmm. no offense, but sometimes, you know, you guys have the black cloud of doom following you around
really?
The house, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And we have noticed that sometimes he can be frustrated, he can be grumpy, but when we've had that intimate time together, he's so, you know, the next day he's so soft and he's so, just he wants to hug or he's cuddly mm-hmm. or he just, it's these things, you know, can we talk, you know, maybe not saying it quite like that, but you
right.
know, that there's more of
there's an openness.
There's an openness. And that's one of the main reasons why, is that he's feeling so close to you,
mm-hmm.
which also is one of the reasons for this big mismatch that mm-hmm. women have, because we want to feel close outside the bedroom first.
Right.
In order to want to be close inside the bedroom.
I know. So wives right now are listening and going, okay, when are you going to do the podcast for men that's going to say, connect with me first.
Absolutely.
And then maybe I'll be more open.
And you know what? One of the – do you mind if we talk through what is really going on for us as women? Because actually
yeah.
a lot of women don't know this
mm-hmm.
either, I found,
mm-hmm.
is to help our husbands understand that. That actually was one of two main reasons why the women said that they – you know, didn't want to connect sexually, like if he wanted more than she did, which wasn't, like we said, that's not universal, right?
Right.
There's plenty of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons is not feeling close outside the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is actually purely a physiological reason,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not. And it's literally that there's two different types of desire. And men usually only experience one. It's called assertive desire, and it's tied to testosterone.
Okay.
And it's the desire to pursue sex and to initiate it and
mm-hmm.
to think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, probably to be ready at a moment's notice.
Right.
Okay, that's assertive desire. It's tied to testosterone. And some women have that too,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the only type of desire that men think exists.
Exactly.
And there's a different type of desire, though. It's called receptive desire.
Mm.
And it tends to be tied to estrogen, although there are plenty of men who are the ones with receptive desire as well. Like we said, there's plenty
right.
of people who are switched on this. But someone who has receptive desire is just as willing or just as interested sort of hypothetically out there in the
mm-hmm.
universe, you know, but isn't thinking about it all the time and isn't ready at a moment's notice,
mm-hmm.
right? And someone who has receptive desire has to be approached differently. And we have to help our husbands understand that,
mm-hmm.
is that we basically need to know what he's got on his menu for the evening before
yeah.
you get to the bedroom. So that sort of, we call it anticipation time, of really like, honey, it helps when you know, over breakfast, you say something flirty,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, how tired are you going to be tonight? Mm-hmm. You know, right. some cute little flirty comment just so that she's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be great. Maybe give some cliff notes. I mean, obviously, I'm interested as a guy to know.
Yeah, I saw you taking some notes.
I am
there.
Taking some notes. And so I'm interested as a guy going, okay, how do I help my wife? How do I connect so that she wants to connect with me? But I'm sure that there's going to be women listening going, well, you're not talking to my husband. So how can I share
right,
in such a
exactly.
way to where I go, help me talk to my husband about this?
So the hurdle that men are going to need to get over, that women need to help their men get mm-hmm. over, the hurdle that men have is this, and I think it's a cultural idea. Like, well, the men in the movies never need to give anticipation time because
right.
if she's like my husband, this is my husband's actual words. He's like, the guy thinks if I'm enough of a stud, she wouldn't be tired.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, you know, we talk about anticipation time. Guys automatically get this kind of alarmed look on their face. They're mm-hmm. like, you mean I need to warn her? Like, that doesn't feel so good. Like, because again, it's all about feeling desired.
Mm-hmm.
And that sure doesn't feel like I'm very desirable.
Right.
And so the way that we advise women is to be very careful with this conversation, because knowing that he's going to feel like that doesn't equal desirability
right.
is to say, no, literally, this is a physiological difference. This is a way that God has wired women and men differently mm-hmm. on purpose, apparently.
Right.
And that it takes it off the table of, it's not about your desirability. It's about my physical difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that I need to know what you're thinking. I need to know well in advance. You know, I need to know that morning when you make the, you know, one of the things that Jeff did when we were learning some of this is I can't remember what it was that he had done one morning. It was really sweet. And I said, you know, thanks so much for doing that. And he's like, huh, just remember that later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And I thought, that's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. It was just a little flirty comment, but it got me thinking about it. And so telling our husbands, just help us start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, one of the things that I do with Jen is I'll just send her a text or going, hey, are you going to be home for lunch today?
Yeah, really.
No,
exactly.
The kids are in school and it's just planting that seed.
Now, but, you know that your daughter, your kids would be horrified to hear this, right? They'd be like,
oh,
Dad.
Yeah. Well, they're never going to listen to this podcast.
Okay.
I hope.
There you go.
They're going to see the title and go, I don't want to hear my dad talking about sex.
Yeah,
I've already
exactly.
done that enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. That's a good example. Perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some little comment.
Yeah. So it's showing, number one, helping my husband understand I need anticipation time. It's
yeah.
like, hey, I want to be there for you. I want to meet that need.
And I want to have that relationship myself.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to build some, I'm going to talk to him about building some anticipation time. What else can a wife do to go, how can I help my husband in this, to kind of get beyond that? What's going on right now with a lot of wives and husbands is like, the husband's going, why don't you desire me? And the wife's
right.
going, it's not that I don't desire you. I'm tired.
I'm tired. Well, and that's the other thing is to help, for us to help our men understand that, honestly, if we're already in bed, we're exhausted, it is almost impossible, not impossible, for us to pull ourselves out of it without this huge force of will.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not what a guy wants. You know, he wants her to be, I can rally, you know, the same
right.
way he can. But for recognizing that's just not us. And so that's, you know, the argument for anticipation time, obviously. But one of the most important things for us as women to know is when he has reached out and we're tired and we're lying there and we just, it's like, I got nothing. You know, mm-hmm. I'm so exhausted right now, to recognize that it's not like this selfish demand, and it's not like you have to meet that need. I mean, you've got needs too. He has to understand you, but recognize that when you say no, it hurts. It actually stings. It's the way the guys described it is, there is no more vulnerable time in my life than when I'm approaching my wife for intimacy. Mm-hmm. And for us to recognize, if we can meet that, then, oh my gosh, that has, you know, huge things to say to him. If we can't, to recognize that you're responding to a pretty tender heart at that point,
mm-hmm.
and to be like, you know what, I would not be fair to you. And that can we make a date for tomorrow night?
Yep.
You know, something like that, because right. because I want to be with you, right. but I would not be fair to you right now.
And I'm looking forward to the podcast about how we're wired differently, because I think it's going to bring up some of this. But I think it goes back to the whole thing. I've always believed science catches up to Scripture.
You know, yes.
We always end up proving Scripture. And when you read the Song of Solomon and you read the back and forth between the husband and wife, it's interesting how they, even back then, speak to the inner needs. You know, Solomon is praising the wife's beauty, feeling cherished, helping her feel cherished and loved. And he's speaking to her before he ever undresses her, which most men don't even think about, right? Most men are going, I just want to get it on. And I'm not doing any of the building and the anticipation time. But for the wife, you know, when you look at Song of Solomon, it seems like she is talking about how studly he is. Like, he's great among 10,000. Well, we know that's not true. Whoever the guy was, he's probably not better than 10,000 people. And he didn't have these abs of alabaster, like a six pack. I'm sure he had a keg, you know. She's lying the whole time, but she's building this need of, I want to be desired.
Yeah.
And I want to be compared to other men, that I'm better than them.
Yeah.
And speaking to that, so science tends to always catch up to Scripture. And I think this speaks to this idea of, if God put us together with two different wirings, that if we're really a picture of Christ in the church, we're to look out for the interests of others. And you wrote in your book about how most women have an intuitive sense to meet everybody else's need in the family, except maybe this need, that this one seems to be the tack on, or like, ugh.
Yeah, and it's one of the most important emotional needs for the marriage, and therefore you and the whole family. Like, it's extremely central.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're spending the time on this, as, you know, even though it's one of these things that women are like, really, really, you're going to talk to me about that? Really?
Right.
But honestly, everybody's curious, why is this such a big deal? And recognizing this is why. It's
right.
because it's a totally different need than you thought it was.
Yeah.
It's this huge emotional core for a man.
And so if you could maybe wrap up to speaking to that wife that is going, okay, now that I know that it's a need, and I see how it is because it's meeting an emotional need, not just a physical need, and I want to be bonded to my husband, building an anticipation time. Is there anything else you'd recommend to the wife that's sitting there going, man, we're not connected right now? And so are you telling me to, like, just to pursue this, to do this?
Yes. And hey, listen, I've been there too, right? I mean, there are seasons where it's like, you know, I'm just not feeling very close to you right now, you know, and I'm really kind of busy. And, you know, I feel like you've been disconnected, or, you know, there's plenty of women who are like, and he's really selfish, and he's really, mm-hmm. you know, and listen, I get all of that. However, what we have found is that one of the keys to solving all of that is to actually pursue him in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you noticed I said pursue him, not just respond to him.
Right.
Because that is the one thing that speaks the most to, this is how I feel about you. Not just, okay, I'm willing. Not just, okay, I'll be engaged if you're interested.
Right.
But actually make the first move once in a while.
Hmm.
And if your husband is like most men, and again, there are some exceptions, okay? But for those people who are in the majority of these kinds of situations, if your husband is like most men, that will not just surprise him, it will delight him. And the other thing that you will find, and this is something we found in our own marriage, and that actually science has found is actually an incredibly important thing for women to know, is that as you take those steps, if you will engage sexually with your husband once a week, it keeps your testosterone level up. Now, most women might be like, what? Like, everybody, mm-hmm. A lot of women don't know, we have testosterone in our bodies too. Everybody has testosterone. It's not just men. And that's one of the key regulators of libido. And if you have sex at least once a week, it keeps your testosterone, for most people, at a self-sustaining level. Then you're more interested in it. So the next time he approaches you, you're like, okay, cool, you know? And so then now you've had sex again, so your testosterone is a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. And so the next time there's a thought, okay, cool. And it keeps it at the self-sustaining level. Once it drops below about once a week, what they found is that you can measure the drop in testosterone levels. And what that means is that when he's approaching you, you're like, really?
Yep.
Because you're just not interested at all. It's because the reason you're not interested is your testosterone levels have dropped by definition. And so if you will just take that step and make a choice to do that and to do that once a week, you will soon find it's no longer a choice. Like it's something you want. It's something you're interested in because now you've gotten back up to this point where it is self-sustaining. And it is going to take probably for a lot of women listening to this, it is going to take a choice. But I really hope that once they make that choice a few times regularly, that they'll see the difference in their man. Yeah. They'll see the delight. They'll see the softness. They'll see the love, you know. They'll see some of those good things coming towards them. It'll make it easier.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing, right? We all want great marriages, but all too often we don't want to work at it. We don't want to take the sacrifice that it's going to take to get there. But when you do, it's amazing how what I hear you saying is like even your bodies, the chemicals in your bodies respond to make you want to bond more, which is really what's at the heart. All of us, it's not like we're looking at each other going, why, you know, and we keep pointing the finger and going, you're the reason why this marriage isn't working, or you're the reason why
it's so easy to do that.
You're not desirable and you're not this. And as opposed to just going, okay, how can I trust and maybe take a step that doesn't feel right? But as I heard somebody say, it's easier to act your way into a new kind of feeling than to feel your way into a new kind of acting. And so if you're making a choice to act,
that is brilliant. Yeah.
I'm sure I didn't say it, but I stole it. But it is easier to act your way into a new kind of feeling. The feelings will follow. And that's really what you want. We're going to close up here, but to the woman that's sitting there going, I'd give anything for my husband to want to be pursued. Yeah. Any advice you'd give to her?
You know, that is a whole nother conversation,
okay. Honestly.
The good news is that there is a way of addressing it, and it really honestly is the starting point is recognizing that he's the one with receptive desire, right? Like he is the reverse of this.
Right.
And the numbers actually weren't – I mean, I think it was something like it doesn't match with the 75%-ish. It's something like 15 to 20% of men have that receptive desire. It's not a tiny number. It's actually, you know, that's a pretty large minority. It's not like 2%, right? But because that does exist to some degree, that anticipation time, all the things that we were talking about are things that you can apply with him. And helping him understand the emotional importance of this to you.
Right.
And because that is going to be a mismatch in some marriages. We actually on our website, one of our most popular blogs is this massive article that we had a sex therapist write for us, this multi-part article on when you're the one who has the higher libido. And it gets some of the highest clicks on our website because it is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, we can't go into the detail here. Maybe we can do another podcast on that.
Make sure you check out the blog, really.
Yeah.
And that's at Shanti.com?
Yep, it's at Shanti.com. But, and you know, we can probably do another conversation on this at some point. But just the starting point is, if that's you, is to realize he's the one with receptive desire. Approach him that way and don't expect him to be other than how God has made him to be.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great first question to ask. You know, why does my husband desire sex so much? And really what I felt like we talked about is really, why does your husband desire to be pursued?
Yeah, great point.
And every wife would sit there going, wait, I feel the same thing. I want to be pursued. And so if you could think what I feel like you've done for us is like just it's not just about sex.
Yeah.
It's really your husband longs to be wanted just like you do. It's just that he really feels it in this area of his life. I heard one man say to his wife, well, I wasn't there. This would be really awkward. But later the wife told me that the husband after sex one night said, you know, when you make love to me, it feels like an emotional salve on my soul. And I don't think most women think of it that way, that that's what he's really wanting, because we've sensationalized everything in Hollywood and the whole thing of women are always ready in Hollywood, and that's just not it. For men, it's not that they want sex. They want to be pursued, and they want to have that bonding and to know that somebody longs for them to really heal their heart, which we'll talk about in another podcast. Why is it that men seem so insecure? But Shanti, thanks so much. Any parting words before we close up?
Just honestly with this one, this is this is a perfect example of, honestly, try it. You're going to have to make a choice, but you will see the result, and it'll be the best possible incentive to continue.
Absolutely. And that's really what we long for. We'd like to see your marriage thrive and for you to be bonded with your husband. So as we wrap up this first episode of Married with Benefits, we want to be an encouragement to you. I bet there's a couple ways that you're actually winning in this area. And so don't beat yourself up. Just think about one or two things that you're really doing well here and keep doing those things. But I'd also ask you, what's the one thing you go, man, I need to improve there. I really want to apply that to my life this week. And just pick that one thing and start working on it and see what happens in your marriage. I bet it'll take a turn for the better. Shanti, it was a pleasure kicking off our first podcast together. That was a lot of fun.
It was. It was awesome.
You know, we here at Family Life want you to know that we are passionate about you experiencing oneness in the key relationships of your life. And if you want more help and hope along those lines, you can find it at familylife.com. And by the way, we wanted to also let you know that this podcast is listener supported. And so we appreciate many gifts from people just like yourself. And if you're interested in donating today, you can do that there at familylife.com. Just click the word donate. I'd love to give a special thanks to our audio producer, James Youngblood, or as we like to call him, CJ3, and our project coordinator, Paige Johnson, for helping to pull this off. We couldn't do it without their help. Have you ever wondered, why is my husband so touchy? He's so sensitive when I give him criticism. That's the question we're going to tackle next. I'm Brian Goins, seeking to help you love the one you're with. See you next time.